Are you a wise woman over 55 who wants to take control of how your body and brain age? Because you want to keep doing what you love with those you love? No Nonsense Aging is about understanding that while we don't control the fact that we'll age, we do have control over the way we age. I'm your host, Penelope Lane, and in this podcast, we'll delve into the combined power of exercise, cognitive training, mindfulness, and self-compassion so that you can actively shape your aging journey and enjoy a life that exudes vitality, strength, confidence, and calm. Do you worry about how you'll age with each passing year? Many women do, and they want to do something about it, about how they're going to age. And as we journey through life, one question looms large in our collective heads. How do we age gracefully, vibrantly, and healthily? Fortunately, some recent research shed some light on a fascinating discovery that might just revolutionise our approach to getting older. So imagine if the secret to a longer and a healthier and a happier life, look, it didn't actually lie in expensive treatments, exclusive elixirs, or magic pills and supplements, but rather in something as simple as how we feel about or how we perceive getting older. So in this groundbreaking study conducted by researchers at the New Jersey Institute for Successful Aging, they discovered something really interesting. Now, the study looked at 5,500 odd people, not odd people, but 5,500 people aged between 50 and 74. And the researchers meticulously examined various factors like demographics, their sex and their age, where they lived, and also kind of their socioeconomic status, all that kind of stuff, but also lifestyle choices like what they ate and exercise. And the results were mind-blowing, to say the least. The golden nugget of the study revealed that individuals who embraced a positive approach to aging, well, look, they had a less than 10% chance of dying in the next 9 years. Conversely, those with a negative view faced a staggering 45% chance of the same fate. Now, here's where it gets truly exciting in this particular research. For every point increase in your positive aging score, your risk of mortality drops by a significant 3%. Now, this isn't merely about the numbers. It's actually a revelation, a testament to the potent influence that our feelings about getting older wield over our health and also our well-being. And this study isn't alone in its findings. Numerous other research studies, well, they've corroborated the profound impact of attitude on aging. Other studies have found that individuals with positive self-perceptions of getting older lived, on average, 7.5 years longer than those with negative self-perceptions. Having better physical functioning, including the ability to walk faster and recover more quickly from disability, as well as better cognitive function, that's things like memory and mental focus, and also better mental health outcomes and lower rates of heart attacks and also strokes. So what's the takeaway from all this research? Well, put simply, feeling fantastic about getting older. Look, it's not just a mood booster. It's a predictor of a longer, healthier life. And this isn't wishful thinking. It's evidence-based truth, offering us women over 55 a roadmap to age with grace, confidence, and vitality. So in essence, the message is clear. How you view getting older matters. It matters a lot. Instead of dreading the passage of time, let's embrace it with open arms, celebrating each year as a new chapter filled with opportunities, new opportunities for growth, wisdom, and also joy. So to all the wonderful women over 55 out there, remember this. The fountain of youth, look, it's not in a magical, a mythical spring hidden in potions and creams and pills. It's within you. And it's waiting to be unlocked through the power of positivity and perspective. So how can you develop a positive attitude to getting older? Well, developing a positive approach to aging requires a combination of techniques, but the two most powerful ones are mindfulness and self-compassion. And others include a gratitude practice, fostering positive relationships, and focusing on what we do have control over. So here's how you can integrate these practices into your life so that you can develop and enhance your positive attitude to getting older. So in this way, you can add more quality years to your life to keep doing what you love with those you love. So let's talk about each of those in turn. And the first one is mindfulness. So mindfulness offers a powerful tool for cultivating awareness of our thoughts and emotions related to getting older. By observing these thoughts without judgment, we can diminish their impact on our well-being and foster a deeper connection with the present moment. And when we integrate mindfulness into our daily activities, we can further enhance our ability to navigate the challenges of getting older with a sense of balance and also acknowledgement of what's going on in our lives and working constructively and positively with those things. Mindfulness involves paying attention to the present moment without judgment. And it can help you become more aware of your thoughts and emotions related to getting older, especially those negative ones that research has shown actually shorten our lives. When you just acknowledge your thoughts rather than buying into them, they've got less impact on you and how you feel. In essence, you can have a negative thought and just notice it mindfully, and it will eventually evaporate. So setting aside a time each day to practice mindfulness, for example, focusing on your breath or your body sensations, or maybe even the sounds around you, or simply observing your thoughts as they arise and fall, when thoughts about aging arise, notice them without judgment and gently bringing your attention back to the present moment and engaging with what you are doing. So for example, I hate getting older and not being able to do what I used to do. So with mindfulness, you would notice it and then bring your attention back to what you were doing rather than adding fuel to the fire. Now the fuel in this case is more and more negative thoughts. For example, I hate getting older and not being able to do what I used to do. It's so unfair to be in pain all of the time. I'm so hopeless and I'm sure my family think I'm a nuisance. One of the wonderful things about mindfulness is that you can integrate it into your daily life, extending mindfulness beyond the formal mindfulness sessions by bringing awareness to everyday activities such as eating, walking, or even washing dishes. In the episode 4 of the No Nonsense Aging podcast, I talked more about mindfulness there, so you can check that out. Now, the second practice for developing this positive attitude to getting older is a gratitude practice. Cultivating gratitude for the aspects of your life that you do appreciate, regardless of age. Reflect on the experiences, relationships, and opportunities that have enriched your life. Consider keeping a gratitude journal where you regularly write down things that you are thankful for. And this practice has been shown to shift your focus away from the negative aspects of aging towards that more positive outlook that we're talking about. Now, these don't have to be huge things like a positive test result. They can be the simple pleasures of life, like the warmth of your bed on a crisp morning, or even the pleasure of having running water coming out of a tap. I recommend writing four things that you're grateful for every 3 days or so, rather than every day. Why? Well, because it's less likely to lose its emotional impact. The everyday practice that's usually suggested, well, it can become stale, I've found. Oh, and another important part of this gratitude practice is to allow yourself to savour these positive experiences and to cultivate a sense of appreciation. Now, the third one is self-compassion, and I talked about that in the last episode. So treating yourself with kindness, support, and understanding, especially when facing challenges associated with getting older. So acknowledge that aging is a natural part of life and that it's okay to have feelings of discomfort or fear. Experiencing the challenges and imperfections is a shared human experience. You're not alone in facing these difficulties associated with aging. Practicing self-compassion by speaking to yourself in a supportive and nurturing manner, as you would a friend facing similar difficulties. When you notice self-critical thoughts or feelings of insecurity about aging, respond to yourself with kindness and understanding, maybe giving yourself a supportive touch of reassurance and soothing the pain and discomfort. Asking yourself what you need right now. Asking yourself the question, what do I need to help me cope in this situation that I can provide for myself that is within my control? Such is the wonders of self-compassion. Now, the fourth one is fostering positive relationships, surrounding yourself with supportive and positive women and men who uplift you. Now, this can be in person or indeed online. And strengthening social connections can enhance your sense of well-being and provide valuable support and security as you navigate your own aging journey. Engaging in meaningful conversations, participating in social activities, and prioritizing spending time with loved ones. Now, this all may seem obvious, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but it is well worth including, as we can actually downplay the importance of accepting a coffee, catch up with a friend, or going to our group exercise class, as we are saying to ourselves that we're too busy. Now, the fifth one and the last one is focusing on what you do have control over. So the focus on control. And with this, you're identifying areas of your life where you have control and take proactive steps to prioritize your health and also your well-being. Now, the three areas that come to mind are health and wellness. So that's where you prioritize behaviors that promote your physical and mental well-being, such as regular exercise, nutritious eating, adequate sleep, and stress management. Lifelong learning, keeping your mind and your brain active and engaged by pursuing lifelong learning opportunities. Now, this could include taking up a new hobby, learning a new skill, or exploring topics of interest. Social connections, which I've already mentioned. So this is investing in nurturing your relationships with friends, family, and community members. Social support can buffer the negative effects of stress and enhance your overall well-being. Now, I'm very excited to be able to introduce to you one of my online friends, one of my good online friends, who I've met through my Facebook profile and also my Facebook group. And she is a wonderful lady, and I'm sure her story and our conversation will inspire you to embrace a positive outlook to your own aging journey. So I'm going to introduce Elena to you now.
I sense that you had a very kind of constructive and positive outlook on your aging and also the aging of the women that you work with. So I really just wanted you to share that, so that's inspiring for my listeners.
A bit about my history. I worked in the retail book trade when I first came to Australia 42 years ago, because I was born in Africa in what's now Zimbabwe.
Your accent, yes.
And yeah, I worked at UWA in the bookshop there for a long time. And then I thought, well, you know, you have a look at the students and you think, oh, I can do that too. So I applied to Curtin and I got in there, and I did liberal arts, sociology, so on. And I stayed there. I was started in 93, so I was just on the point. I turned 49 and then turned 50 in 94. And then I graduated in 93, 94, 95. And then I took a year's break. And that's when I did my research for honours. And I went back to Zimbabwe because I needed to look at the archives. And that was a mission. And then when I came back, I did my honours at Curtin. And I got a first class, so that was handy. And from the strength of that, I got a scholarship to Murdoch. Yeah, it was great. It was the best decade of my life, my 50s. I loved it. It was really so liberating, you know.
And, wonderful.
Yeah, and I loved being able to do all these amazing, all this reading and all this study and research and that. It was really good for me. You know, and I started then, I thought I knew everything. And after about 2 weeks, I realized I knew nothing. But that was great. But it was a good starting point. So, yeah, and then that, and then it would have been in May 2004. I was just about to turn 60 and I got my, came in the mail that, yeah, you've got it. You're in, yeah. So like 2 days before I turned 60. So that was a very stimulating.
And that was a PhD, was it, Eleanor?
That was a PhD, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But while I was doing my PhD, you know, you'd know, having done your master's, how much you are in your head. And that's when I decided to do, because of yoga is my main sort of thing, I decided to do the teacher training course. So I did that. I would have done that in 98 or 99. And then I was teaching already yoga. So then I've been teaching yoga ever since then. Yeah, all sorts. I teach old people, young people, babies, you know, well, kids. Yeah, so that's my main, can't really call it a hobby, it's my main life.
Eleanor, tell me about what you do now in your life.
Now I do volunteering with this Seniors Recreational Council. They've got a program, runs only in the Peel area actually, called Strong on Your Feet. It's for strength and balance, and also quite a lot of social activity, although we don't make a big thing about that. We just sort of, you know, we have songs and we chat a bit and that, and that's great. I enjoy that. But I've got, that's volunteer, but then I do a paid yoga class. So they pay me, seniors pay me. I really enjoy that. So my age group there goes, my oldest client is, she'll be 99 in May.
Wow.
I know. She's an absolute marvel. She's tiny little thing, and she's so enthusiastic. Challenge them gently, if that makes sense. And I, all the time I'm warning them, look, if this isn't for you, if it's your blood pressure, if it's your heart, if it's your vertigo, shoulders, you know, the whole thing. I've got a bit of everything there. You don't push yourself. Don't try and compete with the person next to you. Just you go at your own speed and stay safe.
That's lovely advice. And on the relationship that you have with your older members or your older clients, given that this episode is all about how our perspective on getting older really is the foundation of how we experience aging, may I ask you, Eleanor, what your own personal kind of approach to getting older is, your own personal attitude to, you know, getting older?
It's not something I really think about. And it says, how old would you be if you didn't know when you were born? And I think that's probably where I'm sitting. I do know how old I am, of course, but I don't sort of think about it much. Yeah. As you know, I've told you, I keep active, I walk, I swim. I had a lovely swim this morning, which is probably why my hair's sticking up all over the place. And Yeah, I have a group of friends who mostly volunteers from Strong on Your Feet and other yoga teachers. I think that's really important. And I think that's why what you're doing is so important, is that those people, those women and men who there are making connection. And yes. I think the connection is so important.
Yes.
And so, like when I started the chair yoga class, I all sat there. Yeah, nobody spoke to anybody. And then it sort of eased off and then they started chatting to each other. Now I have to ring a bell to shut them up so we can start. So, yeah, no, it's fun. And I make it fun. I don't get all po-faced and preachy.
Even though you don't actually consciously think about your attitude to aging, given your approach to your classes, given your approach to your own life and the people that you help and that you serve, those relationships that you have and the way that you interact with yourself and the people in your chair yoga, what does that say about your personal attitude to getting older?
Oh, yeah, I just, whatever age, and I, particularly as you get older, I wrote here, you may think you can't do something, but if you don't have a go, you'll never know. And I put that through to my yoga people, as I say, gentle encouragement. And I say, you don't have to do what we're doing, but you're keeping yourself active. And I think that's so important. I think that is my main attitude, is just whatever age I am, yeah, it's important just to keep moving for me and for the people who I'm with as the volunteer and as a teacher in the yoga. I have two brothers and they both were very active and then they stopped being active. They stopped moving. And the one died last year, this time last year, with dementia. Talk about galloping dementia. And the other one will be 90 this year. And he's in care because he's got dementia. But they both stopped moving. They used to play golf and this and that. And then they decided, no, they're just going to sit in front of the TV. And I say to my people, particularly the volunteer ones, when you're watching TV, this is what you can do to keep moving. So this is what you can do with your feet. This is what you can do with your ankles, your hands, your neck, you know, just making some movement. Don't just sit there, be quite so harsh as that. But I say, you know, basically what I'm saying is don't just sit there with your, you know, glued to the screen, because that's not going to help you.
Wonderful advice. Yes, yes. You have your own personal experience, very emotional experience of what happens if you do kind of either give up or just stop doing.
Yeah, yeah. And it was the same with my mom. I mean, I was here in Australia and she was still in Zimbabwe. She always used to walk every day. She used to garden. But then after my dad died, she stopped and she got dementia and she died 1987. She just turned 81 and she died. And that is in my mind because we're going to be 80 in May. And that's, I suppose, in the back of my mind, that's there. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm not going to stop moving. While I can move, I'll move. While I can be active, I'll be active. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. And on the basis of that, Eleanor, what advice, what guidance would you give to the people listening to our conversation? What advice would you give them? What kind of guidelines would you give the people?
Well, I think the main thing is the worst failure, really, is not trying. So whatever your age, there is something you can do. You can volunteer. It's great. You know, you're giving back. And as an immigrant to Australia, and Australia's been very good to my husband and myself, and this is my way of giving back. There's that and there's just being kind, you know. Yeah, and just keep moving, really.
I love that. Keep moving and keep being kind. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And plant a tree.
Yes. In your spare time, plant a tree.
Yeah.
Look, thank you so much. Our chat's been very valuable and I know it will be valuable for the people who are listening. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I want to leave you with a powerful reminder that aging doesn't have to be a daunting journey. It can be a path filled with discovery, growth, and joy. Are you ready to embrace this journey with confidence, strength, and vitality? I warmly invite you to join my 12-week Fit and Fabulous program. This program isn't just about physical health. It's a holistic approach to nurturing your mind, body, and emotional well-being. designed to empower you to lead a life brimming with hope, vitality, and joy. To find out more, check the link in the show notes. Let's embark on this beautiful journey together.